Proverbs chapter 24, we're going to read two verses tonight to begin with. Verses 23, say through 25, three verses if you would please. Proverbs 24, 23 through 25. Reading all three of these verses together with me, please. On verse 23, "These things also belong to the Lord. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, Thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them." Tonight I want to bring a Bible study that, it's not a real creative title, but it's some good information for us tonight. Thou art righteous? With a question mark. Thou art righteous? And our Heavenly Father, I pray now that you'd teach us, help us, bless us. Lord, give us open hearts and minds that we may have understanding in the Scriptures. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. At this point, it's not important what her name is, though I know what it is. She was a teenager in my home church. It was her Sunday to sing special music. And I'm not sure just exactly how she was placed on the music schedule, but she was. I went to the public high school with her, as well as the church with her every week in my home church. My first taste of Christian education, as you know, was Bible college, and so I was in public school. Well, this young lady stood at the pulpit and began to sing a really good song. It was called "The Way That He Loves." Is anybody here familiar with that song, "The Way That He Loves"? As I was making preparation for this Bible study tonight, I looked it up and heard and listened to it be sung again. Oh, it was such a beautiful arrangement too. It really was, and I enjoyed it so much. But I had a very difficult time paying attention to the song because all I could think of was the way that this young lady lived. It was my youth group. I was a teenager in it, and I knew how this young lady lived. Somehow, the way that he loves did not match the way that she lived, and that was a sad shame. Sadly, that's also happened here at Timberline at times over the years, and honest mistakes are made, and I'm sure that the person in charge of the music at my home church at that time made an honest mistake. She did not need to sing in church. She needed to be in church and be sung to. And I mean that with all my heart. I've attended them, and so have you. But have you ever gone to an awards banquet for a Christian school only to hear the names of some of the most worldly kids called up and given honor and awards for different things that they have done? I've been there. I really honestly have. I've seen it. I've seen it done. And they were honored perhaps for their athletic ability. But there's more to a Christian school than athletic ability. There's a thing called Christian character. And when you're involved in Christian school, you see both. You see talent and ability, and you see character. But you're never supposed to applaud talent and ability first. You're supposed to applaud character. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so, interesting about that, some of the staff and many of the students sit back and wonder why a Christian school honors such worldly Christians. And I really mean that. I remember there was a situation where I was involved and a young person in my youth group had gotten kicked out of the choir. And the reason they got kicked out of the choir was because they couldn't sing very well. That's what was said. Now, I led a youth choir with the church kids. Oh, sometimes 40, sometimes 75 teenagers in the choir loft. And we would all sing. And so I understood who could sing and who could not sing. Some really had great talent and great character. Some did not carry a tune as well. But I was trying to build character, and I didn't worry about talent. But interesting, though, I think a lot of times this one that got kicked out of the choir because this young person couldn't carry a tune very well, I pulled the choir director in from the school. I said, "Why was so-and-so kicked out of the choir?" And he said, "Because he can't sing. He can't carry a tune." Well, that's a logical conclusion. Can't sing. But I said, "What about so-and-so who has such a horrible reputation in the school and in the church But yet, this young person is allowed to stay in the choir and has a bad, bad testimony. The one you kicked out had a really good testimony. And the choir director just shrugged his shoulders and he said, well, this individual can sing. I said, that's not what we're supposed to applaud. We're supposed to applaud character, not talent. Solomon now teaches his son a solemn lesson, and he states this in Proverbs 24, verse 24. It says, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. I think this is a truth that many believers overlook today. Solomon taught his boy that one of the quickest ways to get a bad reputation was to honor wicked people, to honor rebels, to honor those that needed, that should not be honored. We have to remember, a wicked person is not necessarily just someone that's unsaved. In my Bible study over the years, I used to always think that wicked referred to the unsaved. That's not true. There's a lot of unsaved people that are not wicked. They're just not saved. But there are many saved people who live in many ways as if there was no God, and they live wickedly. And so I learned that wicked applies to the saved as well as the unsaved. And here, the word wicked simply means anyone, saved or lost, who lives as though there is no God. Let me say it again. The word wicked that is here simply means anyone, saved or lost, who lives as though there is no God. Somebody says, well, if they live as though there's no God, they're probably not saved. I'm not that spiritual. I can't judge that. A person's salvation is between them and the Lord. And we often will be, we start being a fruit inspector of someone, say, well, they're not doing this or they're living like this, so therefore they must not be saved. That's simply wrong for us to do. We're not spiritual enough to choose who's saved and who's not. God knows, and I'm glad that He does. Because everybody in this room, you've had great days, haven't you? I mean, the Lord's been so good. I mean, you could attack the devil with a squirt gun. I mean, you could witness everywhere you go. You could have the joy of the Lord being your strength. I mean, you've had those days. And then there's other days you wonder why you even get out of bed. And you're not very spiritual, and you don't make good decisions. But that doesn't mean you're lost. That means you're having a bad day because you're a human being. But what I am saying is this. If you live like there's no God, you better pray He's right. You better pray that you're right. Because the truth of the matter is, a backslidden Christian will face God's chastening hand. And that truth is emphasized by the Lord Himself by being oft repeated. Let me give you three verses tonight, and then we're going to get into our Bible study. Psalm 12 and verse 8, the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Boy, have we seen that in our government or not? When you think about vile men and women being exalted in our government, and you see what that produces in cities and states around our country and even around the world. Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And then, of course, there's Proverbs 29 and verse 8. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. These are great verses. It's a great truth. But when we begin to exalt and praise those who are ungodly, we're setting a bad precedent, not only for our church or our families, our children, every place that we look, we are setting a bad precedent. There's something very demoralizing to righteous people when the exaltation of wicked people comes about. It is sad but true, but that happens in every segment of life. I've written down a few of the examples. It happens in the workplace when those who cheat are raised to the top of the ladder. It happens in the home when the offending child is praised and the obedient child is punished. It happens in the church house when evildoers are set up as examples to the rest of us who know them better than those who exalt them. It happens in pro sports, college sports, high school sports, when whoremongering evil players are lifted up to hero status. It also happens in government, when officials are pardoned for crimes the rest of us would spend the rest of our lives in jail for doing. And it's sad. and people that want to do right, that discourages them. And Solomon warns Rehoboam. He warns him what will happen if he, as king, says to the wicked men that they are righteous. He's trying to teach his boy here. And he wanted him to make the right kind. Now, Rehoboam didn't listen to his daddy. But then again, Solomon didn't listen to the Lord often. But we have this example here. He says, now, Rehoboam, he says, now you need to make a right judgment. Don't be praising those who are doing wrong. Because if you do, you're gonna disturb the people. You're going to discourage the people that want to do what's right. And so he says to him two things. He says that the people will curse him if he praises the wicked. And secondly, he says that the nations will abhor him. How many times have we heard in the last 9 months or so? How many times have we heard that the world laughed at America and said America was dying and that America was not good anymore? Well, I know America's got her warts and I realize she's got her problems and she will always have those as long as people are involved. But when your government officials are praising those who are evil and immoral and ungodly, listen to me now, the Bible teaches that the nations are going to abhor us. And that's exactly what they did for a long time. Thankfully, some of that's turning around now these days, and I'm glad that it is. And so, there are lessons that we can learn from this, and I want to share those lessons with you tonight. And if you're taking notes, I have them enumerated. Number one, these words belong to the wise. Look at chapter 24 and verse 23. These things also belong to the wise. In other words, a wise person is going to understand what's being said. Not only is it important what God says directly, but it is also important what God says indirectly. And if these words are the words of the wise, it must also mean that those who practice such things are not wise. And so you have that. I mean, he didn't. It's implied, but it's right there. And you are not wise to justify in any way evil men to your children simply because of who they are or what they do. I've written down some examples that I've seen in ministry for many years. It is true that many sports heroes are good at what they do. We know that's true. I mean, what was the latest thing? I didn't watch the game, but I heard about it in the news. The Broncos came back in the fourth quarter and beat the Giants in the fourth quarter, and they were behind for the entire game. So sometimes they do good things, and we understand that. But many of these individuals, whether they be on a football team or a basketball team or whatever it might be, many of these men and women are wicked individuals. And we have our children have their posters hanging in their rooms, or maybe wearing their jerseys. What about the morality? Think about that. It's true that many music and movie celebrities say they are saved. We had a fellow who visited our church many years ago, and he was a rock and roller. He really honestly was. And he was telling me about this one group of individuals. I got to think of the name of the group now. It's not one that I ever listened to. Metallica? I guess that's a rock and roll group from years past. He was telling me about the individuals in that group that were born again. Well, you start looking up the music that they sing and the words that they say, they're the totally different opposite of being a Christian or being born again. Why do many star in movies filled with cursing and immorality while others sing in bars and nightclubs and some so-called Christians have played leading roles in movies their children are not allowed to attend because they're too young? Because there's too much immorality in the movie. There's contradictions. And it's no wonder our kids grow up with confusion in their mind because we praise those that are wicked. It's unwise for Christians to recommend evil men in any way. The hero seat in any home needs to be reserved for those who are godly, not for the unholy. And if these are the words of the wise, as the Bible says, these are words for the wise, then the words to the contrary are words to the unwise. We must keep that in mind. God doesn't play with words. He doesn't use words just to, as a filler in a verse to take up space. He says what he means. He means what he says. He says, you praise the wicked, it's going to have bad consequences in your life and in the lives of those around you. So, number one, these words belong only to the wise. Proverbs 24:23, these things also belong to the wise. Number two, if you're taking notes, wicked people are not righteous people. Say, Pastor, do you really need to say that? Yes. Wicked people are not righteous people. Look at verse 24 of chapter 24. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. Wicked people are not righteous people, and righteous people are not supposed to be wicked people. So we have to understand that. I think this is a fundamental truth. To call a wicked person righteous would be like saying a heavenly devil or a satanic seraph or a demon-possessed cherub or a white lie or a good witchcraft or a delicious rat poison or a good rattlesnake or Christian rock. All these things are contradictory in everything. And so to say that a wicked person is righteous, it's like saying these things. It would be a good day when God's people learn that wickedness is wicked and righteousness is righteous. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that there's coming a day, and we're in it right now, where men and women will call that which is good evil and that which is evil good. They can't tell the difference between that which is right and that which is wrong. And so, it'll be a good day when God's people learn that devils aren't heavenly and seraphim are not satanic and cherubs are not demon-possessed and lies are not white and witchcraft is not good and rat poison is not delicious and rattlesnakes are not good and rock music is not Christian. You see, I said this was not going to make me a very popular individual, and I'm in it. But today in Christianity, the lines have been blurred and there's no difference between that which is wrong and that which is right. I heard a preacher just the other day. He said something really funny, and it really has nothing to do with my sermon, but I thought about it while I was giving these illustrations. He was talking about a baby, that cute little thing, you know, a sweet little cherub, you know. He called it a viper and a diaper. I thought that was pretty good. He said, because that child will rule the roost. All he has to do is cry out one time, and I cannot get that phrase, viper in a diaper, out of my mind. I just thought it was good. But anyway, back to the message tonight. Third and last point. I said, first of all, these words belong only to the wise, Proverbs 24:23. These things also belong to the wise. Number two, wicked people are not righteous people. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. And lastly, those who justify wickedness curse themselves. Those who justify wickedness curse themselves. I'm going to go back to verse 24. It says, he that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. And notice it says this, nations shall abhor him. So when you start praising the wicked, you bring a curse upon yourself. Solomon told his son that the people and the nations would curse him and would abhor him if he raised up those who were ungodly. That does not mean that they would curse at him, though they might, but what it does say is that he becomes an abomination. He is cursed, and that he is loathsome, and they would condemn him for his hatefulness toward that which is right, you see. Even God's people today, when a law or something is passed, and the righteous look at that law and say, well, that just contradicts everything that is right and everything that is good. Amazing. There are those who try to stand against wickedness, thank the Lord, and people think badly of them because they do so. Stand for right, and all of a sudden you get an enemy. Amazing. The Bible teaches just the opposite. The righteous people will take great delight in those who stand against wickedness. It is only the wicked and the unwise who justify the wicked. I want to read verse 25 to you. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon him. Oh, you become unpopular when you stand for right. That happens all the time. You're not the world will condemn you. We see it in the news all the time. People want to do what's right, and then there's a world that wants to condemn them. But you know, there's a whole bunch of us out here that say, praise the Lord. Do it again. Let's do what's right. Let's stand for right and stand for what we ought to stand for. And many may think that this kind of Bible study is kind of silly, but the truth is, it's timely. In the day and age in which we're living right now, it's very timely. And I think it's interesting that the nations we abhor for their exaltation of wicked men think that we're silly for trying to pass judgment on lying and perjuring and witness tampering and justice obstructing and draft dodging and dope smoking and womanizing and government officials. Say, well, what's wrong with that? Truth of the matter is, that affects everything. Let Proverbs 24:24 stand as a warning to any believer who justifies wicked people. And may we follow the words of the wise and avoid the words of the unwise. I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody tonight, but what I'm saying is even in our Christian schools, even in our churches today, often wicked people are exalted. I told you about the Christian school that they wanted to write to different individuals who had become successful in life. They wrote to saved and unsaved. But I got to thinking, why didn't they write to a missionary that's been on the field for 50 years serving God and ask them what the success of their life is? But no, they had to get it from saved and unsaved. I won't mention some of the individuals' names that were there. One coach of a soccer team in a Christian school. He told his players that when the ref made a bad call to get in his face and let him know you're displeased with that. That's exactly the opposite of what I taught in the youth group. I said, when you get called, raise your hand and take the call. There's going to be a bad call on the other side too, but you don't get in someone's face and lose your Christian testimony because you disagree with a call, you see. And so we need to not be lifting up the example of the ungodly, the unsaved, men and women who obviously stand against what's right and against the Lord and against the things that are godly, and start lifting up the things that are right and godly in God's eyes. We may not always agree with what God says, but it's still what's right. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 68, it says, of God, thou art good. He's just good. And so everything that he does is good, whether we agree with it or not. And so tonight, the Bible study was simply entitled, Thou Art Righteous? With a question mark. An ungodly individual we call righteous and good? No. God warns against that. We don't exalt those, you see. When I think about young people right now around our country, around the world, around the country, who in their bedrooms, they have posters up on their wall of ungodly sport players, men and women who have obviously been immoral and ungodly in every way. You see, but they're good at what they do. Good, I'm glad they're good at what they do, but they're not good at how they live. And that's what we have to remember, you see. So that's my Bible study for tonight. Let's all stand for a word of prayer.